first reading comes to us from 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were with Bethel, who were in Bethel, came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to the one side and to the other until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me that I may do for you. Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet, if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended into a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. Our second reading comes to us from Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. It says there, 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Would you pray with me? O Lord, may we, your disciples, ascend the mountain. May we see your face. By the power of your Holy Spirit, make us more wholly yours. Not so caught up in the moment that we aren't truly able to understand its significance, that you are our God, the Word made flesh, who came to dwell among us, to live, to teach, to heal, to make whole, to restore, to die, and to rise. Oh God, we who have heard this passage so many times, may it fall afresh upon our hearts, and may those of us who have never heard it before experience it as well with an open heart. Oh God, once more I proclaim that I am not perfect, but you are perfect. Your word is perfect. And I ask that though I am your imperfect instrument, that you would use me to convey your message to your people this day. In the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Well, in a June 2017 issue of Southern Living, in a column entitled The Grumpy Gardener himself, Steve Bender, responded as usual to gardening questions from readers. The first reader submission, with the subheading, Shame on Grumpy, wasn't a question so much as a comment. It reads, a while back, a reader asked what to do about yellow and black caterpillars eating his plants. You immediately suggested he get out the insecticides and begin spraying. For someone who considers himself a professional gardener, you really missed the mark here. With the rapid decline of butterflies in our world, I feel it would have been much better if you had suggested that the homeowner first identify the type of caterpillar. It could have been an eastern black swallowtail or other type of beneficial butterfly. By assuming it was a bad moth larva, you did a serious disservice to gardeners and butterflies all over the world. Shame on you. Signed, Karen. Grumpy replied, yours is just one of the approximately 10,000 angry messages I received about this. Limited space on this page sometimes prevents me from going into as much depth as I'd like. I admit my response was a bit too simplistic and have exiled myself to a small cottage in the Hamptons for 1 month this summer to atone. I think that was supposed to be funny. It's weird when no one laughs when you make a joke, because you're on the other side of the camera. Anyway, I've read this passage from Mark chapter 9 over and over again over the course of my faith journey. And as I prepared for today's message, there are two things that occur in this passage that stir my heart. The first is Jesus' actual transfiguration. He takes his most beloved, most trusted disciples up the mountain, Peter, James, and John. They go off by themselves with Jesus, and they witness Jesus' clothes become whiter than Clorox bleach could make any clothing. They see Jesus standing on the mountain talking to Moses and Elijah, as we learned more about him in the end of his ministry, his proclaiming of prophecy back in 2 Kings. These two great prophets of the Jewish faith are standing there with Jesus. It isn't that Jesus becomes someone else in this passage. He doesn't suddenly shed his old self to become someone different, someone entirely different. He reveals himself quite deliberately to these three chosen men. Then a cloud envelops them, and from inside the cloud a voice speaks, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." The disciples look around. Moses and Elijah are gone. Jesus stands there alone. Jesus doesn't descend the mountain a different person than when he went up it. However, in light of what they have just witnessed, Peter, James, and John see Jesus differently. They see him in a new light. Their Jesus, their rabbi and friend, is greater than Moses and Elijah. And in the Jewish faith, that's really saying something. He is God's own son. So there's this transfiguration of Jesus that takes place. But there's also a transformation that is beginning to occur in Peter, James, and John. How these disciples interact with Jesus now that they know, how they respond to his teachings and lead their lives is forever changed by what they have just witnessed. Not that they completely understand all the ramifications of it. They get really caught up in the moment and don't really understand the significance of it. Jesus is standing there with Moses and Elijah, and I can't imagine what that moment must have felt like for these disciples. They studied, they've learned these passages likely their whole life. They've heard the prophecy. They've lived the festivals commemorating the history that Moses led the Israelites through. And here with Jesus stands these very men. I can't imagine what this moment must have been like. It must have been really powerful and overwhelming. Mark's account tells us that the disciples are, in fact, terrified. So in what we come to learn is Peter's typical fashion. He proceeds loyally, enthusiastically, and with his foot perpetually close to being inserted in his mouth. Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He's terrified. He doesn't know what to say, so he just starts saying stuff that maybe sounds good, hoping that something profound will eventually come out. I totally get Peter. I'm a Peter. He knows this is a significant moment, and he wants to faithfully mark it, but he misses the point of the moment entirely, even in the midst of his desire to do and say the right and faithful thing. So Jesus is transfigured before the eyes of Peter, James, and John. This causes Peter, James, and John to begin to undergo a transformation, which is most evident to us in Peter as Scripture progresses. Since we know the most about his continued spiritual journey throughout the gospel accounts and carrying forward into the book of Acts. Once you see Jesus' face, you cannot remain the same. You begin a journey into being made into something entirely new as you listen more and more intently to what it is that he has to say. It's not that he's just some historical figure. It's not that just that he was a good guy, a great teacher. He becomes something more. Perhaps that we can't quite realize in the moment as we see his face shining brightly within our hearts. But still, we come more fully to realize in that moment that Jesus is the Son of God, and what that means not just for the world, but specifically for each and every one of us. It's much like the metamorphosis of a caterpillar into a butterfly, what's happening on this mountain. I don't remember learning, or perhaps I have just forgotten, that caterpillars actually have 12 eyes. 12. Yet their vision is limited to what is directly in front of them. They see only the next leaf to munch on in order to store up enough energy for the change that is about to take place. Butterflies, on the other hand, play a pivotal role and the interconnectedness of all things. They don't just see what's directly in front of them. They flutter around and fly from flower to flower, drinking their nectar, pollen attaching to their wings, and then being carried to the next flower for pollination, fertilizing the plant and producing seeds. They have a pivotal role to play. It's like they enter the world once more, wide-eyed, ready to absorb and savor everything and share what they have learned and experienced with others, that seeds might be planted in them, producing growth as well. Self-isolation and mask wearing have been a part of our daily routine for almost a year now. And if you're like me, you have felt every single one of those days. We continue to long for a return to normality, especially in these dreary winter months and weeks like the one that we're in the midst of right now, where it just keeps raining and it's cold. We're cooped up inside and we played all the board games we can stand to pass the time. We've cleaned all the closets. Now we're going back and cleaning them again. Though we desire to return to what was before the pandemic, we were created to transform, to experience a metamorphosis of sorts, leaving what was behind, seeing ourselves and the world around us with clear eyes, and emerging from this journey a new creation. Certainly, we can emerge from this experience worse for wear, more negative, grumpy, unwilling and unable to see the light. But we have a divine opportunity to see the light in the midst of the cloudy, dreary winter. We have the opportunity to learn and to grow in our knowledge of what it is to love and to be loved by a God who would go on this journey toward the cross with us. Jesus comes down the mountain with his most trusted disciples and tells them not to tell anyone about what they have seen and heard. Imagine how hard a secret that would be to keep. You've just descended a mountain and you've seen Jesus and Elijah and Moses and a voice saying, "This is my son." And you're supposed to keep that to yourself. In our reading for today, Jesus' fame doesn't spread amongst hundreds or thousands of people. It is more fully shared with only three. Jesus, not just who and what they are. Jesus reveals not just who and what he is in this moment. He offers these disciples the opportunity to be a part of something bigger and greater. And they more fully realize the opportunity that is before them, perhaps. At least I hope so. Jesus sees what these disciples will become as they journey alongside him toward the cross and beyond. He doesn't just see who and what they are before him right here and right now. He sees the possibility. May that be how we move through this world as well. Loving people as they are, but also seeing the possibility of what could be. The transformation that is or can take place as God uses us to reveal Jesus to others. May we see the possibility in this moment in time in which we are living. Let us not just go spraying away with the proverbial insecticide, trying to rid our lives of each fuzzy, gushy caterpillar. But remember its potential. A potential for transformation that God sees in you and in us all. Amen.